Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio, a service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Also a pleasure to welcome back to Close Up Radio. We've also recently done some really extraordinary and inspiring television shoots where I was sent out to the Dallas, Texas area, and we filmed Dr. Michael Armour doing an actual keynote address, and it was really an extraordinary experience. We'll tell you more about that as we go along with our series. But on the radio side of things, for decades, Mike Armour, Dr. Mike as he is known, has compiled an exceptional leadership record in far-ranging fields of endeavor. Today, the cumulative wisdom gained from such broad experience puts him in constant demand as a keynote speaker, executive coach, and inspirational trainer in management, leadership, and cultural transformation. Businesses of every size seek out Dr. Mike to help them develop more professional leadership teams. Esprit de Corps was originally, of course, a military term used to denote the pervasive spirit of unity within combat units. Dr. Mike knows this spirit well, having spent nearly half of his life in naval service. And after a 10-year enlisted career, he was commissioned as an intelligence officer and eventually rose to the rank of captain. Dr. Mike also points out that American armed forces understood leadership long before regular industry grasped it, because military command structures envision an orderly succession of leadership. Dr. Mike is so stirring an expert that he has been linked to people like Tony Robbins and Marshall Goldsmith, too, who are legends in the speaking industry. Yet he has his own distinct approach, different than any other coach, trainer, or motivational speaker. Again, I personally, just a few weeks ago, got to see him doing it in action in a theater that was packed, and the response afterwards was phenomenal. They really, really loved his presentation and his story and resonated with them. Dr. Mike founded his flagship entity, Strategic Leadership Development International, or SLDI, and its Leader Perfect services to help companies and individuals achieve peak performance. He's also an author who has written about people management, culture, and diversity for over 30 years. And the second edition of his most widely read book in corporate America, Leadership and the Power of Trust book, is to be released, and it's very exciting. If you'd like to learn more about Dr. Mike Armour and all of his endeavors, you can visit leaderperfect.com. That's leaderperfect.com. We'll mention that again during the course of our conversation for the next 30 minutes together live here on Close Up Radio. But first, from Dallas, Texas, let's welcome back to Close Up Radio Dr. Michael Armour, or Dr. Mike, as he likes to be known. Dr. Mike, welcome back. It's good to hear your voice again. And we're just starting our series on Close Up Radio on the heels of an extraordinary television shoot we did with you on location in Dallas, and it was wonderful. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and I'm thrilled to be with you again.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here. You know, you say that your resume is so long and varied that people wonder how you could have packed all the experience into one lifetime. When I was on the shoot with you, I kept saying the same thing. The amount of things you've done and accomplished, extraordinary. Tell us, I'm familiar, but tell our audience some of the highlights of your background, Dr. Mike.
Well, as you mentioned in your introduction, I spent 35 years in active duty and reserve components of the Navy, and much of that reserve experience was more than just weekend warrior work. I was quite often in positions where I was giving the Navy 10, 12 days a month working on projects that were of high priority, sometimes very highly classified, And so it was really more than just, as I said, a weekend warrior responsibility. It genuinely was a part-time job. At the same time, I was pursuing a number of other things. For a while, I was a dean at Pepperdine University. I was later president of a small liberal arts college in Portland, Oregon. I then spent a number of years working in large urban churches that were in the process of turning around or taking advantage of rapid growth in their communities. I later became the CEO of an international nonprofit doing humanitarian work in all the nations of the former Soviet Union, and spent time doing that while at the same time building up my firm, Strategic Leadership Development International, which I had only begun about 3 or 4 years before I took on that engagement with the nonprofit. So across a pretty broad spectrum of things, in education, in faith-based institutions, in international nonprofits, and of course in the military, I've had a lot of balls in the air for a lot of years.
Yes, you have. It's extraordinary. I think if all of this doesn't work out, your next career and endeavor would be a juggler. You'd be expert at that. As I mentioned, you spent a lot of years in naval service, and thank you very, very much, I said it at the TV shoot as well, for your commitment and your service to all of us and for our freedom and our rights and all of it. And we applaud that effort. Let's discuss how that training, how that background in the Navy helped you discern management from leadership. Some people lump all of that into the same ball of wax, but it really isn't.
No, it's not at all. There are very distinct differences, and those differences are illustrated in the way we use our language. We speak of managing people and leading people. We also speak of managing budgets, managing inventories. We would never speak of leading a budget or leading an inventory. We only lead people. And so leadership is always people-centric in a way that management may or may not be. Some management positions do require a great deal of people-centered activity. But there are other management positions, managing a warehouse perhaps, where you are the only person or have one or two assistants in the warehouse with you. Great people skills are not necessary. In leadership, people skills are always necessary. So coming back to your question, and that is, how did the military shape my thinking on that? There are major management components within the military. They are the support services that provide the logistic support that allows the battlefield operatives to have everything they need when the going gets tough. But on that battlefield, it's not management but leadership that really makes the difference. In fact, you can build the case that the Second World War was won by a combination of management proficiency on the home front and leadership proficiency on the battlefront, because it was the ability of our manufacturing capability in the U.S. to produce weapons, ammunition, other essential goods and services and products, and get them to the battlefront faster than the Germans, Italians, and Japanese combined, that really turned the tide in the favor of the Allies. So there is an excellent example of how you've got to have management to support leadership, but management may not necessarily entail leadership in every instance.
That's right, exactly. You know, talking about war brings to mind strategies of some, even in battle today, for instance, the Russia and Ukraine situation. Did you have some feelings you wanted to share about all that, Dr. Mike?
Well, as a matter of fact, you know, I spent this morning probably a full hour trying to get up to date on how the Ukrainian counteroffensive is impacting the Russian efforts in Ukraine. And as you know, I've got a long history in Ukraine myself, as also, and also in Russia. I actually had offices for the international nonprofit I led, both in Donetsk, Ukraine, and in a number of major metropolitan areas of Russia. And so it's like my friends are fighting my friends right now. And I've followed the war very closely. And the day the Russians invaded, on my podcast, I made the point that people were going to be surprised at the ingenuity and the innovation that we would see from the Ukrainians. Because having worked with them for years and years, I had seen that innovative, imaginative ingenuity that is very characteristic of the way they tackle problems. On the other hand, the Russians are much more resigned. The status quo, they may not be happy with it, but people generally feel there's not much you can do about it. You just have to learn to live with it. And so I knew that when these two forces engaged on the battlefield, the Russians themselves would be surprised at how innovative and imaginative the Ukrainians were. And that's demonstrated itself in the fact that the Russians are still basically using as their military management strategy the doctrines that they inherited from the Stalinist era. The Ukrainians were trained, the senior officers in the Ukrainian army, were trained in that system while Ukraine was still part of the Soviet system. But once they broke free of that and to look at the NATO nations to their west, they said NATO doesn't approach the battle that the way the Russians do, the way we were trained to do. And so they began to contract with former special forces people from our own armed forces to come in and train them to think like the West thinks, which is to delegate decision-making authority as far down in the ranks as you possibly can. The Russians, on the other hand, hold decision-making authority only at the top. And this goes back to the old Soviet era where the communists did not want to empower people with independent decision-making very far down in the organization. They could never anticipate how people might use that authority to launch some counter-government move. And so in politics and in the military, they retained major decision-making authority at the top, so that once the battle started between the Ukrainians and the Russians were dependent upon having generals on the front line, because many decisions that in our army would be made by captains and lieutenants down in the ranks had to be made by generals or colonels in the Russian army. And so the difference in the styles of leadership is the difference that we're seeing now in the imaginative ways in which the Ukrainians, outnumbered and outgunned, are mounting a very effective counteroffensive and really forcing Russian forces to retreat in numbers that no one could have anticipated 90 days ago.
So true. You know, all of your experiences in the Navy and the nonprofit sector as well led to the formation, as you mentioned, of SLDI and Leader Perfect. Tell us about when the firm was established and maybe a little bit about the type of consultancy that it is. We can get into the specifics of the work you do and your team do, you know, next week. But as far as the firm itself, what was your vision and when did you establish it? And tell us about the type of consultancy that it is.
Well, we formally launched it in 2001. My timing was not particularly great. I began it 60 days before 9/11, and so right out of the chute, there were some challenges that I had not anticipated in my own strategic planning. But we got off to a good footing fairly quickly, and The way that I've described the company historically is that we provide comprehensive leadership development training and experiences. That is to say, there are some approaches to leadership development that are rather one-dimensional. They are training programs or coaching programs. My sense was that there was a place for a firm that offered the entire array of experiences and developmental opportunities that would allow leadership to develop and mature. So, yes, we do executive and leadership coaching, a lot of leadership training, but we also facilitate strategic planning. We do team building with organizations that have recently merged with another, or a family-owned business that has been bought out by a publicly traded entity. Those kinds of mergers often create tremendous challenges for the leadership team that now has to guide the newly formed entity. And so we will come in and help them do team building and team enrichment. A program that we offer to the corporate world that not too many other people even offer is that we will come in and help a company develop its own internal mentoring system so that they don't need to depend on people like me from the outside. They have a team of trained and effective mentors within their organization who can continue to foster the development of leaders. And then, of course, I do my keynoting, which is usually built around leadership themes and draws out in large audience settings many of the ideas that we work with one-on-one in coaching or in small group settings in training and in team building.
You know, what I love is you say your purpose in life can be distilled to helping people succeed by equipping them with clarity and insight and to empower them to make better decisions and confidently move forward. Tell us about that. Expand on that for us, Dr. Mike.
One of the things that has always interested me is language. I've studied a number of foreign languages. When I was doing my doctoral work, I had to do research in several foreign languages. And so as you work with the challenge of moving from our language to another language or from someone else's language to ours, you start being aware of the nuances that are present in terms cannot really be replicated in the target language you're translating into. And out of that, I then began to be really interested in what are the nuances in the terminology we use as English-speaking people, and even as Americans, as distinct to the British or the Australians. We have terms that have meanings that are nuanced, and yet we speak the language so naturally and from such an early age, we never stop to look at the nuances of that language. So as a result, I started making an effort early on to come up with my own definitions of things like leadership, my own definition of management, my own definition of key terms that we are using all the time in the corporate world. But if I ask my clients to define them, they've got a general notion of them, but they don't have clarity as to what that term means. And it was from this working to get clearer in the definition of terms myself that I came to understand that when I can give people clarity, first in their language, but then in their vision and in their sense of mission and in their priorities, we're multiplying effectiveness immensely. But the other goal is I don't want them to be dependent upon me to be there to foster the development of clarity on an issue that they're struggling with. As part of my work with them, I want to give them the insight that allows them now to self-coach when they run into a problem to say, okay, if Mike was sitting here talking to me, how would he guide me through this thought process? And begin to ask those questions themselves that they've been hearing from me through our relationship in coaching or training or whatever. And in that process, I'm giving them ongoing insight so that they can become not only self-editing, but self-learners and can continue to grow whether I'm around or...
See, that's what's fantastic. You have this unique understanding of the human condition. And what I really like about that is you pull from all these different experiences, which I think makes it a well-rounded experience for your clients. You can really relate to them, relate to their issues, come up with methodologies and strategies that really suit whatever it is they're hoping to accomplish, whatever their dreams are, whatever their goals are. Your well-rounded experience really does, in a beautiful way, in an efficient way, lend itself to that for your clients, doesn't it, Dr. Mike?
Well, yes, it does. And because I focus so much on leadership, and because the essence of leadership is the same wherever you apply it, I have, since I started the firm, coached, it's now approaching 800 executives and entrepreneurs, and those are found across 60 different industries. I can move from industry to industry to industry because the principles of leadership are the same. Now, the application is different in specific settings, but they are the expert on their setting. If I can help them to understand the principles, they are capable of determining how best to apply those principles to their individual scenario. But as a result of working with all of those different industries, that has added to my repertoire of stories and understanding that came from my own experience. So my own broad experience opened the door to coach a lot of people in very different life environments and corporate environments. But my working with them then broadened my own experience that I could take and relate to someone else. And it's very rare when someone calls me and says, I'm interested in a training program or a coaching engagement on this subject, that I cannot, as part of that discussion, point them to two or three or four, maybe a dozen other engagements that I've had that worked with that same problem, that's very challenging in a different context. But the structure for addressing the problem will be the same for this potential client as it was for those others. So you're right. The cross-fertilization does bear a lot of credit for the success I've been blessed to have. I had a professor in my undergraduate and my first year of graduate work that used a rule of thumb with his students, and it was read widely, wisely, and well. By widely, he meant be reading in a lot of different disciplines. By wisely, he meant don't pick tough stuff. Pick stuff that stretches you and challenges you. And third, read from people who are good writers, people who write well, so you can unconsciously learn how to express yourself effectively. That's been one of the two or three maxims that have had the greatest impact on my life. Read widely, wisely, and well. And it is because of that prompting from him that I've been able, over the course of my lifetime, to continue to develop knowledge and know-how in a lot of fields that I don't have formal training in, but by my own research, by my own motivation to broaden my know-how in a given area, I've been able to capitalize on his advice and take on new insights and a new grasp of things that I would not otherwise have had.
We're speaking today with Dr. Michael Armour. It's extraordinary. He's compiled an exceptional leadership record in far-ranging fields of endeavor. And if you would like to connect with him, there is a website you can go to. He founded his flagship entity, Strategic Leadership Development International, as we've mentioned, and its Leader Perfect services to help companies and individuals achieve peak performance. And as I mentioned, too, which during the subsequent episodes in upcoming weeks, we're going to talk about his incredible writing and his books as well, which we're very excited about. But if you would like to make contact with our very special guest, Dr. Mike Armour, and that is spelled A-R-M-O-U-R, if you're Googling or LinkedIning, you can go to leaderperfect.com. That's leaderperfect. As I mentioned, you know, he's been likened to Tony Robbins, Marshall Goldsmith, some of the well-known greats, and he's one of them himself. And having observed him in various capacities with radio shows, he came to our television studio, we did a full-on shoot, and then flying out to Dallas, Texas, and see him in his environment and the response that people gave to his keynote speech, book signings, and a whole host of other interactions was just truly extraordinary. He knows how to captivate and cultivate and create, and I think that's really an advantage for the clients that are out there who are, you know, interested in making contact with Dr. Mike. I encourage you to do that by going to www.leaderperfect.com. Dr. Mike, this was another fantastic conversation as we're kicking off our extensive close-up radio series, which we're looking forward to. We have a lot of wonderful topics and conversation ahead. Thanks for joining us on this episode and joining me once again. It's always an honor and a pleasure getting a chance to chat with you, Dr. Mike.
Well, it was a joy. I'm looking forward to the upcoming episodes and all the various topics we will have an opportunity to explore.
Any final word, inspiring word you'd like to leave today's audience with, Dr. Mike, before we wrap?
I think the most important thing for us to do is simply to keep pressing forward. We're going through a time of great uncertainty and difficulty in many organizations and individual lives because of what's happening around us. And I have found that it is being like that turtle in the old fable of the race between the tortoise and the hare. Just keep plodding forward so that when things do turn in a more promising way, you're positioned to take advantage of it rather than having stopped to take a nap.
Put, what a great analogy. I can visualize that as well. Dr. Michael Armour is our very special guest, and the website, again, is leaderperfect.com. He'll be joining me once again next week as we continue our series and inspiring conversations here on Close Up Radio. We encourage you to join us for that, and thank you for joining us for today's episode. And Dr. Mike, thank you for joining us today as well. Looking forward to picking up next week together on Close Up Radio. You have a great day, Dr. Mike. Take care now.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. Our very special guest, Dr. Michael Armour. Again, one more time, leaderperfect.com. And he'll be back next week. We've got a lot of great conversation coming up for you. Stick with us through this entire series with Dr. Mike Armour. You're going to learn a lot, and I'm definitely positive you're going to make contact because he is incredibly inspiring and empowering. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay right there. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest for you here exclusively on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again soon on Close Up Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.